By LeBron driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The game on lock for sure.
Donovan Mitchell gets the free throws, 99-91. The Celtics will lose not only their third straight at home, their third double-digit lead lost in a row at home. Wanamaker doesn't want to take any more shots. Marcus Smart on his birthday hits a three at the buzzer. And that just creates a five-point final margin. And the Celtics fall two games behind Toronto in the Eastern Conference and just did not have enough firepower tonight without Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. And for the first time all year, they lose three straight at home. And for the first time since Stockton and Malone wore the uniform, Utah has won in Boston 3 years in a row. Final score, Utah 99. Boston 94.
I was really pleased with how we defended for the most part, with the exception of that, you know, maybe a couple of stretches in the middle of the first half. But other than that, felt pretty good about how we defended. And we held a good offensive team with good players to 99. We just couldn't score enough to win.
Yeah, I disagree. But, you know, we gave them the first couple punches, and then after that, our effort died down. We picked it up towards the end, but it was too late at that time. We definitely couldn't make shots. You know, they did a great job of coming out and, you know, executing all the way through. And they really put us on the hill, so... got to move on from it. Game's over. Give credit to Utah. They came in and did their job. Now we just got to bounce back on Sunday.
A bit of a juxtaposition between how Marcus Smart felt about the effort last night and head coach Brad Stevens. Celtics lose at home to the Jazz 99-94. As you heard, Sean Grandy there. First time that the Jazz have won three in Boston in a row since the Stockton and Malone era, and the first time the Celtics have lost three straight at home since February of 2018. Not great. I expected them to maybe dip a little bit. I wasn't shocked that they lost last week at Houston. Very entertaining game. It was great that Jaylen Brown was able to force it into overtime last Saturday night, but I wasn't shocked that they ended up losing that game. I figured after the success of that West Coast road trip, they'd dip a little bit, but three straight, and that last night, whew. Sports Up Celtics Show, it's Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, if you'd like to join us and bitch about the Celtics, because there's a lot to get to. At 617-779-0985, got Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal alongside as well. Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, will join us in the next segment as well. All right, the Celtics have been dealing with injuries on and off all season. That's unfortunately been part of the calling card of this Celtics season, which overall has been a success, and, you know, I think that they still potentially can go on a deep run here, Chris, but... I don't want to hear any excuse making for that last night, because I thought that was pathetic. After they blew that 11-point lead early, they got punched in the face, and I actually side with the birthday boy Marcus Smart on this. They basically gave up, it felt like to me. I thought the effort sucked. The bench, again, shows that it's negligent how Danny Ainge treated the bench, because yeah. If you had any kind of additional scoring there, maybe it's Isaiah Thomas, Davis Bertans, someone... I don't think that you probably lose that game, even if it was a pathetic performance effort wise last night, I thought. And the bench really shows you something needed to be done at the trade deadline to improve the offense, your secondary offense, and you don't have it. And you got exposed last night in what was an ugly loss to Utah.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you did. I mean, you see that the bench has been a consistent issue for them in terms of scoring. And this was another case of that. This was another case of that happening where they just couldn't generate enough offense. I didn't think it was a particularly great night offensively for Utah, at least by their standards. They're one of the better shooting teams in the league. And so I tend to side a little more with Brad in terms of the effort, at least on the defensive end. I think they would take that type of defensive effort against the Jazz most nights.
Well, they held them to what, 37 points and then combined in the second half?
Yeah, only 37 points in the second half, but they can't generate enough points with the guys who are out, and the bench is an issue. And what's interesting about it, too, is some of the guys that I think people had pointed to saying, well, maybe this guy can fill a role, or maybe this is why the Celtics didn't make this move. You know, like a guy like a Carson Edwards, he's in Maine. He's in Maine last night when, you know, that should tell you. That's like all you need to know about like what you're going to get from Carson Edwards this season. And I'm not dumping on him. I'm just saying like this was kind of the Celtics plan all along, was like the young guys would be able to fortify that bench. And I just don't think there's enough there. And I know, look, maybe it changes a little bit when they get a healthy Kemba Walker. They get Jaylen Brown back. They get Gordon Hayward back. But I'm not expecting Semi Ojeleye to play like he did in Cleveland all the time. just because other guys are back. The bench is an issue. They didn't upgrade it, and it could come back to haunt them. And they still have these three first-round picks, which I'd love to see how they're going to use these three first-round picks in this down draft coming up in June.
And the other thing that I found aggravating, concerning from last night is why was Brad Stevens handling Jason Tatum with kid gloves? Is he more hurt than he actually is? You know what I mean? Why is Semi Ojeleye getting more minutes than Tatum? And there was a stretch there. It felt like he was being held out for way too long. And I think that these games down the stretch are important. I think getting the two seed is imperative for the Celtics because they are going to try to make any kind of deep
run. Much rather face Brooklyn or Orlando than Indiana or the Sixers in the first round.
Absolutely.
No question about it.
Absolutely. Because I still think even though the Sixers have had a down year in a lot of ways, they mirror the bitchy Celtics of last year. I still think that they're ultimately kind of a bad matchup for Boston.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to see them in the first round. If you can avoid them, fine. The two seed is imperative. They're going to go on any kind of a deep run and try to get to the finals. Do I think that they would win? No, but I think you can come out of the East. I do think that you could if you're at your best. So I don't know. The handling of Jason Tatum for the way that he's been playing last night, that makes no sense to me. So what is it? Is he more hurt? And Stevens, correct me if I'm wrong here, B-Rub, said after the game it was, well, no, we're just, he doesn't want to say preserve, but they're trying to basically, he made it sound like, we're trying to keep him healthy and, have him be fresh, you know, for the run here.
Preserve him
for the postseason run. Why do you need to preserve a 22-year-old kid? Like that, so it leads me to believe that something else is going on here and he's more hurt than is actually.
He has
reported.
Had a pretty heavy workload, though, over the last month.
Yeah, there's no question. He's been, I think, averaging closer to like 38 minutes a game. And at some point, they probably are just like, we can't wear him down right now. We're worried about that. And we'll see if that's the right move or not, but it's going to clearly cost you in the standings in the meantime.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think something's fishy. You think he's like nursing an injury he's going to have the rest of the way.
Maybe. Yeah, I just, that made no sense to me whatsoever last night. And I think the main frustration, though, no matter what, coming out of last night, it should be on Danny Ainge and the fact that they did not improve that bench. Like, okay, you want to argue on the side of Brad Stevens who thought that the effort was good because you hold Utah to 37 points in that second half, you have no offense. Like, effort can take you only so far. You have no secondary offense whatsoever. And so when Hayward comes back, would you consider putting him to the bench, or is that just moot regardless because they're not going to do that with a guy who was a marquee free agent on a max deal, and he's also one of Brad Stevens' guys?
I mean, we've talked about this, right, B-Rob? We've talked about this, I think, since we started the Sports Hub Celtics show. I have said repeatedly that I would send Jaylen Brown to the bench, but he doesn't like coming off the bench. And then to Jim's question to you about Hayward, has anything changed there?
If you have to explore all possibilities there in the next few weeks, the way I look at it. The biggest problem right now is, the wait for them to be healthy keeps coming up with Brad Stevens. But at this point, Marcus Smart has started 75% of the games he's played in this season. So at some point, like, are they ever going to be healthy? And can you count on that? And they haven't been in the postseasons for the last couple of years. And, you know, hopefully they come around now. But if they're not, or even if they are at full strength, you have to figure out ways to stagger the lineup because, you know, Smart is your only reliable scoring option off the bench right now. And the disappearance of Cantor and just the inability of the rookies to give you anything offensively consistently, it's a big issue, and you're going to get exposed for that by good benches like Utah's last night.
Yeah, I mean, Cantor hasn't been the same, I think, since he hurt that hip in the Clippers game right before the All-Star break. He just has not been the same guy. And I would say this too, the way Jaylen Brown's had a great year, and I think if you can have him come off the bench as a sixth man, if he is like the focal point of the second unit in a way that star players are the focal point of their teams, like the whole offense would run through him. I think not only would it help the Celtics, I think it would help him grow too. I think it would help him grow. He would get some opportunities and maybe he would see areas he needs to improve. And maybe it sort of, you know, satisfies a little bit of a need. Like, you get to see what it's like when you're the absolute focal point on the court. And maybe it's a little harder than you think it is. And I also think it makes it easier for Brad to stagger those guys. Like, we can talk about staggering all we want. It's just, by definition, harder to stagger people if they all start out together. It's easier to stagger them if they start out staggered. I mean, it's just common sense.
Another guy that hasn't been the same, and it's obvious, is Kemba Walker, who plays 27 minutes last night. We knew he was going to be restricted, but it was up a tick. So 27 minutes, finishes with 13 points, a plus 10 for you plus minus geeks. But it's on 5 of 17 shooting, and he just, if you watched, he's not the same guy. He hasn't been the same since that All-Star game. So to the both of you, like, what's your level of concern for him going forward? Now, while I was maybe making too much of, you know, Tatum and how he was handled last night, Kemba Walker, I'm legitimately freaked out about. Like, that knee ain't getting any better.
It doesn't seem good. I told you, I was, you know, the Synvisc injection to me was not a good sign. Again, I am not a doctor, but just based on covering sports and being around people who've had the Synvisc, it's usually not a good sign.
Well, it goes from first to rest, and then you hear it's drained, then he's getting injections, and now he's being held out like five straight games, comes back, looks like he, you know, can't really do much, and then a game like last night, you look at him, it's like he's still bothered by this knee. It's not getting better.
But you know what? On the plus side, you all enjoyed the Elam ending, so congratulations.
The what?
The end of the All-Star game.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
You all were eating that up on social media.
Not so me.
It probably cost you an Eastern Conference Finals berth because your guy was out there for 15 straight minutes. But hey, have at it. Elam ending rules. Way to go.
B-Rob, how do you feel about where they're at with Walker right now?
Yeah, it's clearly, if they knew this was happening at the trade deadline, I hope that they would have addressed the issue more of knowing that Kemba would be playing. You know, you have... If you already have two guys out, it's like Kemba's like a half guy right now based on he's only playing these 25 minutes. He's not getting into a rhythm when he's out on the floor. And I don't know if it's rust right now, Jim, or if it's a bigger issue. I think we're going to find out in the next 2 weeks as he ramps up more. But he did say after the game last night that that's the best he's felt. Now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing based on his numbers, that's going to be the question.
That's kind of alarming. That's the best he's felt?
Right.
Really?
So, I mean, we're going to see on that. But there's no question in the meantime if they want to keep him under control and they want to keep Tatum's minutes under control, they're not going to get the two seed. It's just not going to happen with the personnel they have left.
Especially the way Toronto's playing. Now, you know, they have this stretch, I think, coming up on the schedule here. And you can start it however you want. Let's start it tomorrow against OKC because they've been playing well.
Yep.
But then you're at the Pacers.
Milwaukee on Thursday.
Milwaukee on Thursday.
Then you get some bums after that.
You have some bums in there, but then on the 20th, you're at Toronto. So I feel like this is sort of, you know, a deciding stretch that the Celtics are really going to roll through here. I mean, you can argue if you want to call it like a 10-day stretch that starts on Tuesday with that Indiana and ends on the 20th in Toronto. I mean, it could really sort of define where their seating's at. Just to go back to Kemba for a second, him saying that's the best he's felt is like Brad Wanamaker coming out after last night's game and saying, you know, that's the best my shot's felt all year.
Holy
I mean,
crap.
That's pretty alarming.
Those last two, three attempts. I mean, you might as well have me out there trying to make those shots. My God, is that embarrassing. All right, we'll get more on last night. The status of Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown as well, as Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston joins us next on the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show. This is Jaylen Brown and home of the Boston Celtics basketball on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just got to figure it out. That's really it. We just got to figure it out. We'll be fine. We just need guys to get healthy. That's really all. That's our main concern. That's what's most important, you know, especially, you know, heading to the playoffs. You know, we'll be fine. We'll figure it out for sure.
Kemba Walker, after last night's loss to Utah, essentially saying all is well. Based on his play, it doesn't look like it, though.
Where have we heard that before from a star point guard? I was just waiting for him to say, we'll be fine. Yeah. Why? Because we have me.
Yeah.
I'm here.
We'll flip the switch. Now, he's not... The only Kyrie thing he's done was, you know, making sure he played in that All-Star game and had to get in there late and play in the 30 minutes. That's about the only Kyrie-ish thing you'll get out of Kemba Walker. But
no, he's totally different from Kyrie. He's been a great leader this year.
But his play has not been great, and I think that knee is in worse shape than is being reported. So maybe we can find out a little bit more of that, courtesy of Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, who joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good afternoon, Chris.
What up? What's up, guys?
So is Hi. are minutes restriction the answer here? Because it certainly doesn't look that way for Kemba Walker. What's your level of concern with that knee?
Yeah, like I mean, I wasn't there last night, but it sounds like he was pretty positive after the game about how he felt, and pretty optimistic about the fact that maybe they could up that minute restriction a little bit. So, I mean, that's encouraging. And yet, you know, certainly if they run into these back-to-backs and stuff like that, I think they'll trade cautiously. I think, as Kemba himself said, you know, the most important thing is that they're all healthy when these playoff games roll around. But certainly you'd feel a lot more comfortable when they're scuffling and when they're struggling to put up points like they did last night, if you could have them out there for longer stretches. So it's going to be a little bit of a balancing act. It'll be a lot easier if you're healthy and you don't have to lean on him quite as much. And if Jason Tatum is playing well and all that, but, you know, certainly something I'm not like Grant, big picture, I'm not overly worried about it, but certainly something that they're just going to have to manage to the finish line.
All right. Well, then if you're not worried about him, how about Jaylen Brown, who said he's going to likely get reevaluated midweek? Said he had felt good about how the hamstring has felt the last few days, but realistically, you know, what kind of minutes restriction do you think he'll be on if and when he comes back?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I wonder how they'll tread, especially just knowing, you know, fair or not, that Milwaukee game will be a pretty lot of eyes on that. And, you know, sort of battle of two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. Will Jaylen try to get himself out there, and will he be compromised? They've certainly been able to navigate without him. I don't think he's played in a couple of Milwaukee games this year. But, I mean, in, like, the bigger picture, I guess this is what's frustrating to me, is I just kind of want to see it. And, like, how does it look when they're all healthy? You know, in the very few small glimpses we've had, it looked pretty good, and yet I can't make any definitive declarations about this team because I just don't know. Like, I mean, the Spiders have played 188 minutes together, so I really hope he's out there, but certainly, I don't know, maybe it's just we get to the playoffs and you kind of cross your fingers at that point, but I mean, hamstrings are tricky, and you're just going to see how he responds. Good that he feels good now, but something we'll have to monitor.
Is there any sort of second-guessing you think internally, Chris, and the Celtics organization about not adding somebody, not just at the trade deadline, but, you know, in the buyout market, even if it's somebody who would not be eligible for the playoffs, just somebody who maybe could help them get that 2 seed so that they have a more favorable first round matchup? Or do they feel good about their decision to keep the roster as is, keep all those first round picks, keep Vincent Poirier on the roster?
I know, listen, like, my mentions have been a mess for the past month. And, like, I feel like I'm trying to explain the team's reasoning, and I kind of understand it, but I get the frustration. I think the hard part is, like, you just can't bet that injuries are going to keep cropping up, right? Like, I think they've just figured at some point this bad luck would end and that you would get to see it whole, and yet when you've constantly got guys out, you know, it exposes you a little bit. Like, I woke up this morning, and I look, and everyone's screaming at me, oh, you sure you don't need a bench pickup now? And, you know, I look, and their sixth man scored 29 points last night. But he hasn't been the sixth man more than, like, 14 games this year. He's had this – I think Marcus has started 37 out of the 51 this year, and it's just what it is. And so, like, do I think they regret not making a move? No, because I don't think there was necessarily a move out there that made sense both in the short term and the long term.
Sure.
I think it's easy to sit there and just say, like, oh, they should have moved those picks and done whatever you can to get Davis Bertans. I don't think that move was available, and I certainly don't think they wanted to pay 20-something million dollars a year to keep him around into the future, and so it would have been an overpay for a rental. I look at the buyout market now, and I'm like, if you think swapping Alan Crabb for Javonte Green is going to somehow change the fortunes of your team, I just don't know what to tell you. Like, there's just nothing out there that I think is going to change the trajectory of the season more than health. And, like, look, that might not happen. Like, they might just not get healthy, and you'll look back and be like, damn. You know, like, it's unfortunate, but these things happen. And so if you're a Celtics fan, I wish it came down to more than that. But if those top six guys aren't upright in mid-April and beyond, it's going to be a struggle no matter who's on the roster.
Do you think you have to reconfigure those top six a little bit? We were just talking about this on the show, Chris, that based on the way the bench is played, and I know we talked about this earlier in the year, and you mentioned Marcus Smart as the sixth man and having a strong game last night, but we saw it last year with Kyrie. I think we've seen it at times this year with Kemba. It helps that star point guard to have Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, I think, at times. Would it make sense to send somebody like Jaylen Brown to the bench so it would be easier for Brad to stagger, and so that person who can score, who's a 20-point-per-game scorer, can be sort of the focal point of the second unit, and then when you get to the final 5 minutes, you put the lineup out there that you want. It doesn't matter. But as I pointed out to these guys, we keep hearing stagger. Well, it's a lot easier to stagger when the players start out, I don't know, staggered?
It's fair. And, like, I guess, like, that's part of the frustration, right? Because if you'd gotten a longer look at this first unit, if you were able to mix and match, say, through November and December, you could decide on your better lineups. They can't make those decisions. They haven't had the guys healthy. When they have had their top seven upright, I think that last Oklahoma City game down there, that was maybe the only time they've had all seven since the early part of the year, and it looked really good. So I think the rotation is okay. I think they can compete with the best teams the way it's configured. There's certainly something to the idea of finding that right mix. I do think, the more you can put, if you can put three starters out on the court at the same time with two of the bench guys, it looks a lot better than having to lean on them, with three bench guys. And I guess that's my other thing is, everyone wants them to just add another bench piece. They're like, oh, go get Jamal Crawford or Isaiah Thomas. I just don't think people understand. Do you want 40-year-old Jamal Crawford taking away shots from Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker? Didn't we learn that last year that that's not the ideal path? But certainly, it's on Brad to figure out what that stagger is and how to best maximize it and how to not let that bench get exposed. But ultimately, I do think that's more on health than necessarily finding the right mix. You've got six guys that if they're playing 35 to 40 minutes a night in the playoffs, you don't have to mix in those bench guys all that much. You can pick whether you lean on Cantor or Rob Williams. You can play Wanamaker limited minutes and not have those sections where he gets exposed. And so I think that just becomes easier when you have your guys available.
Chris, before I let you go, looking at the schedule, a couple of tough games coming up here, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, then some fodder with the Knicks and the Bulls. But in a few weeks, they're going to go to Toronto, take on the Raptors. Do you still think that the two seed could be a reality at that point, or the way that the team is going and dealing with injuries, do you think that's lost at this point?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but if they win that game up there, they at least give themselves a shot at it, and who knows, maybe Toronto comes into a rough patch here and gives you a chance to be interested there, and the schedule does after this week gets a little bit more agreeable besides that Toronto game, so maybe there's a chance to make up. But I mean, certainly, my biggest thing walking away from that Nets game the other night is I was going to go, man, is that one you're going to look back on and think that was the difference between the two and the three seed? And so, it just makes things a little bit more difficult. All of a sudden, as a three, you've got a whole lot tougher matchup in the opening round, depending on who ends up there, whether it's Indiana, whether Philly slides there, or whatever the case may be. I think the Celtics win that, but it's going to be tougher. And then you got to go on the road to Toronto, where you've never played well. And so it just adds a layer of difficulty to everything. I certainly don't think that they should push for the two seed at the expense of health. Ultimately, you just got to kind of to be cautious with that and understand that if you don't have all your guys, it's not going to matter. And so I think it's in play, but a lot of it will hinge on how they play up there. It's unfortunate. That's the funny part about the whole season as a whole to me is, if you sat here and told Celtics fans that they'd be pushing for the two seed at this time of the year, I think everyone would be like, wow, a lot of people, right? We'd be happy. But instead, we're all sitting here like, oh, the three seed. And it just makes me laugh. It's like, I understand that at some point expectations changed and everything, but, I think you should still feel pretty confident about what this team can do when they have all their horses. And, I'm intrigued to see how it all matches up, but certainly the difference between the two and the three seed could spell a little bit about how far this team goes.
Chris, just really quickly here, I know you do the podcast obviously with Enes Kanter. What's his health situation? Because to me, since he sort of hurt that hip again in that Clippers game right before the All-Star break, he hasn't looked like the same guy.
Yeah, I don't think and the same thing. The eyeball test tells me he's not moving it. Like you said, he's okay. But certainly, even when he first came back, he was saying he was at 60% going up and down the floor. Part of what makes him so advantageous to you is being able to really outrace other bigs up and down the court, get in position, control that offensive glass. Maybe with Robert Williams back here, I think we've seen Brad has treaded a little bit more carefully with Kanter's minutes, and so maybe Rob can eat up a couple more of those, let Enes get healthy. But I do think, as much as there are going to be times where you can't play Kanter in the playoffs because of defensive matchups, I think he's going to be likewise important to really control the glass against bigger teams, and they need to make sure he's right as well.
All right, good luck with your mentions going forward, Chris.
They're a mess. They're a mess. People are just so angry. They hate everybody. They hate Ojulari. These poor guys. I think they've been pretty serviceable, but I'll continue to carry the Celtics a little.
At least he's honest.
Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers.
That's why you're Danny's
hotline.
Favorite.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Have a good day.
Thanks, Josh.
Bye, Forsberg. Danny, you know, comes up, puts the arm around Forsby. I was at this the shoot-around before the Clippers came up, put his arm around him, walked him down the court. They had a nice little conversation.
Do my bidding, Chris Forsby. Say good things about the bench.
Wasn't a good night though, for the bench, though, and I know you guys have things to say, so we'll get to your calls. Coming up next, Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
He's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. For customers.
Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. Pat in Boston. You're first up here this afternoon on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Pat.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Not much. So I was at that game on Tuesday, and that was really frustrating, seeing that lineup in overtime. Wanted to jump off the Tobin Bridge. But, I mean, like, I like Drain and Semi, but in the NBA, you need talent, and it just sucks that we didn't get anyone at the deadline. And one player that, like, no one's really talking about that I guess Danny did try to get is Christian Wood from Detroit. He's been averaging like 23 points the past 10 games, I think. But I don't know. Wish we would have gave up more for him.
Yeah, well, thanks, Pat. Well, you know, you got to hang on to those three precious first-round draft picks and keep hoarding them so that you can keep, you know, stashing those players up with the main Red Claws. Hashtag Crustacean Nation. I still find it egregious that he didn't do anything to try to add any offense to that bench.
I hope Chris didn't see Malik Beasley's line last night.
I did see Beasley's line. That's my guy. I would have given up a first-round pick for him in a heartbeat. And I don't care what drugs Malik Monk does. I would have given up a first-round pick for him, too. He was coming on. I mean, to me, this is where I disagree with Forsby, who's obviously more plugged into the NBA than I am. I don't think guys maybe weren't dangled, but I find it hard. I'll throw another name out there, right? And people might disagree with me on this. But there are guys at the end of NBA benches, young guys who need a change of scenery and they need an opportunity and they maybe could help you. So how about a guy like, say, Frank Jackson with the Pelicans, who's basically buried there, right? But he had a decent season at Duke as a freshman. He's a guy that can shoot the basketball a little bit and he could be a backup point guard for you that might be able to do some scoring. If you're telling me I had to give up the Milwaukee pick for him, which is going to be the last pick in the first, I would do that. I would do that for a team that's built to contend. You know, there are guys, I don't know if, like, say, a guy like B-Rob Josh Hart is available. I don't know if the Pelicans would give up a guy like that, but that's another guy that I look at. Lonnie Walker with the Spurs. There are some of these young guys that are not getting the opportunities that maybe they deserve. They just need a change of scenery. And I find it hard to believe with all the draft prep that the Celtics do that they don't have scouting reports on some of these guys that maybe some of these guys are guys they would have been interested in the right circumstances in their given drafts. And if you have to give up, the last pick in the first round to take a flyer on one of these guys, I'm okay with that. I mean, you look at your picks now. I'm on Tankathon right now, and they're saying that if the season ended today, the Celtics picks would line up at 17. That's the Memphis pick. Their own pick would be 25, and the Milwaukee pick would be 30.
Never mind the fact that you and others think this draft's going to suck, right?
I do. Yeah. I do think this draft is – I think it's a down draft. I do. And I don't know what the rest of the – I mean, again, it's another situation where you could have a guy that goes number one who doesn't make the NCAA tournament. Anthony Edwards of Georgia, the Bulldogs are not going to make the NCAA tournament. I think he's had an okay year. There are guys playing, like, overseas. LaMelo Ball and RJ Hampton are playing in Australia, I think, although I think one of them's hurt or both of them are hurt. You saw what happened with James Wiseman with Memphis. He didn't get – he got, like, 10 games in before he was ineligible. I just look at this draft, and I think it's a real roll of the dice, and you have three picks right now that would all line up outside the lottery. I'd rather roll the dice on somebody who's already in the league that has some talent and potential and maybe just needs a better opportunity and is more NBA-ready right now than Carson Edwards or Romeo Langford, who I like, but those guys just aren't ready to help you right now.
Yeah, I mean, Danny Ainge here, he made the bet on his own talent over the guys like I got Frank Jackson, the guys that you just mentioned, Chris. And the final verdict won't come to the postseason because that's what matters most here. But in the meantime, you want one or two of these guys to step up right now and show that they could contribute in the postseason in a bind. Semi Ojeleye has kind of done that, but you look at the rest of the roster, Jim, right now, like Grant Williams, he's missed his last 11 threes. He hasn't hit one since mid-February. Javonte Green has scored 3 points in his last 75 minutes of action, period. And then you look, you know, Rob Williams is looked pretty solid when he's been back, but he's not just an offensive threat. He's a lob and put back guy. So,
sorry to cut you off, but you know, I thought he was the savior. Robert Williams, the Time Lord, was going to fix everything once he was back. I thought defensively he's kind of sucked. At least he did last night. That I've seen him. There's times he's lost.
He does get lost, and that happened last year too, B-Rob. In fact, I think he had the worst plus minus on the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. He's a great shot blocker, and I'm big on him. I'm bullish on him. I'm disappointed with the injuries. We haven't seen more of him this year. But you're not wrong. He gets lost. I mean, he gets lost like that Royce O'Neal kid got lost for Utah, playing like a one-man zone and giving up a three late in that game to Marcus Smart. I mean, this happens with Williams. And B-Rob, just to go back to your point of the bet the Celtics took, see, here's my issue with Danny on this. Why is it an either or? In other words, why can't you gamble on your young kids that you have and give up, say, the 30th pick in the draft, the Milwaukee pick, and bring in somebody, you know, like Frank Jackson or Dwayne Bacon, who's having a terrible year with Charlotte and is in Greensboro, but started the year as a starter for that team and had a really good year last year? I don't understand why it's one or the other. To me, if you have a problem, you want to come at it with redundancy. So if the first solution doesn't work, there's a backup plan that could solve it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think if they knew the amount of injuries would keep coming like this, I would hope that they would address it. But at that point, they're probably figuring giving up a first-round pick for a guy that probably isn't going to sniff postseason minutes, assuming we're healthy, that's just not worth it for us. But given the fact that injuries have continued right now and you might have to face a tough first-round series because you don't have that kind of, you know, backup talent in place, that could come back to bite.
Well, let me rephrase, as I always do. So giving up a first-round pick for one of those guys sounds bad, but giving up Fab Mello, R.J. Hunter, J.R. Giddens, Gershon Yabusele, Ante Jicic, James Young, would you give up any of those guys for a guy that might be in your playoff rotation? I think you would. And that, to me, is the problem with the Celtics. And I always do this. When you put names to the picks, it's a completely different deal. Because you know what? Every GM in the NBA would trade one of those guys for Frank Jackson or Dwayne Bacon. They certainly would trade him for Josh Hart in a heartbeat.
It's my favorite bit that you do. It's your Stairway of Freebird. Like, the people are chanting for it. Like, do the bit, Chris. Put the names to the picks. Yeah. Jim in the car, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. Great show. I want to give a quick shout-out to Chris. Chris, I heard you speak last summer at the Lynn Museum.
Oh,
and it was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable. Couldn't be back in my hometown. I appreciate that.
I know. Go Rams. I think my first point, this team, compared to last year, it's such an easy team to root for compared to last year.
Sure.
So that's my first point. My second point, I don't know how many games we've played this year with a healthy team and, you know, with Smart being the sixth man. It's got to be like 10, 11, 12, whatever that number is. If we were healthy and we're hitting the outside shot with that defensive pressure, I honestly think if we're healthy, we can beat just about anybody, and we'd have a legitimate chance to come out of the East. And so I just think it comes down to, will we get healthy this year?
Agreed, Jim, and thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Jim. Yeah, he's right. I mean, it does, but that's a big if at this point, and they've put so many of their eggs in sort of the, you know, the core six basket, and that's kind of my point here, is that if the team were more diversified and deeper, then you could get away with one of those people not being healthy. The way we're talking, I think, based on the conversations we've had during this Sports Hub Celtics show, when we say get healthy, we mean all six of them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little bit, to me, like the Red Sox rotation. I think that's asking a lot. I don't know if all six of them are going to be completely healthy at this point. I think that's kind of a big ask.
All right, so a couple of things we want to talk about coming up here in the long commercial-free segment that will segue into the final half hour of the Gasper and Murray show. Could radical change be coming to the NBA, and not just because of coronavirus? There is talk of maybe trying to start the season on Christmas Day, where, like, for a lot of fans, that's what it feels like the NBA season starts. There was some talk of this at the Sloan Analytics convention that's going on locally. As the last caller said, you know, this team is so much more likable this year. Yeah, it's because it doesn't have Kyrie Irving, who just got a coach fired in Brooklyn. So we'll get to that as well in the Sports Hub Celtics show next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, The Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sean, how did Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving factor into this decision? same way the rest of the all 17 players factored into it. So I've just got done talking to them all now and updating them.
So that's Brooklyn Nets GM Sean Marks, Kyrie and Kevin Durant had nothing to do with the firing. I always have to end on an up, because that's how the Aussies talk. Sports Hub Celtics show here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Jim Murray and Chris Gasper. So, yeah, if you haven't heard the news, the Brooklyn Nets have fired Kenny Atkinson, their head coach today. And, well, I think it's because of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. I don't think there's any question about that. And it's not like Sean Marks really did his best to downplay it there. According to NetsDaily.com, the reason behind the firing is, quote, some players wanted him gone. I think you can guess which players those were. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Boy, the balls on these two. Like, I just don't get it. Like, where did this whole thing devolve? And they can still squeak into the playoffs, correct me if I'm wrong, right? Like,
they're going to be in. They'll be in the playoffs. They should be the seventh seed there. Washington's, I should look at the standings, but I think Washington's like 5 games back of Orlando, who's the eighth seed. So it should work out for them. I just think it's a lot for them to move away from Kenny Atkinson, who was such a huge part of the culture that they built.
He was a part of the reason that Irving wanted to go there, at least, but that he talked going into free agency. So now the two of them combined, it's not like Durant's played, but so they played 20 games. They're making close to $70 million, and they got a head coach fired, that one that they supposedly wanted, and one of the reasons that it was a draw to go to Brooklyn. I don't understand how this whole thing imploded so quickly. But then again, Kyrie Irving involved, so why should I be that surprised?
Well, it's amazing to me because it's like two of the most well-respected coaches in the NBA, in Brad Stevens and Kenny Atkinson, it seems like Kyrie Irving has had issues with. And Kyrie only played in 20 games this year for the Brooklyn Nets. They were 8-12 in those games. So I don't even think he wasn't even around the team enough to form an opinion on Kenny Atkinson.
Well, it was enough for that little bugger to infect the locker room like he was living coronavirus. Yeah? Anything else you'd like to say, Sean Marks? No, that's about it. Have some Vegemite. I don't know how those people eat that. So there you go. Kyrie helps to get a coach fired in Kenny Atkinson. The other thing I wanted to touch on quickly, I just want to pull up the story because this was talked about last night at the Sloan Analytics Conference, which you typically go to. Are you?
I've gone in the past. It's a very cool take. I wish I were going this year. I haven't gone the last couple of years, but it's really cool. Just all the people that come from across the country to be there and all the sort of sports dignitaries, like the MLS commissioner, Don Garber, was there. Jonathan Kraft was there as part of that MLS panel. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool event.
So it was Steve Koonin, the Hawks CEO, who was talking last night, and he has a plan to increase the NBA's ratings and that is start and end the season 2 months later. At the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, he was on a panel about possible changes to the league's schedule. He says, quote, relevance equals revenue. We got to create the most relevance. Revenue will fix itself. Really, the gist of it was this. For many fans, I think most casual fans of the league, like you're going to have your hardcores that are watching year in, game in, game out, that want to see some of the great young talent, because I think the under 25 talent in the league is maybe the best it's been, maybe ever. And you have real pillars for the league going forward, and guys like Zion Williamson and Luka Doncic, Trae Young in Atlanta. So you're going to have your hardcores. But for the casual fan, and I'll be honest, like outside of the Celtics, like I'm a casual fan of the league. I do like the talent. But to me, it truly, and I felt this way forever, that the league truly starts on Christmas Day. Well, what Koonin wants is for the league to start on Christmas Day and essentially get the hell out of the way. And I think the part of the quote was, let football have its time, let's have our time, and let's go after it. So rather than starting in October when, if you're nationally, people don't care about college football around here, but Chris, rabid people are in the Midwest and down south. Like at that point in October, you're playing for the playoffs in college football has really started to heat up. The NFL is now a month and a half into the season when the NBA starts. Like, it's kind of an afterthought. In those first couple of months, it's just, you know, teams trying to work their way into it and feel themselves out, especially if you got some new pieces via free agency or some rookies you're trying to work in. Like, it really starts, I think, to the casual fan on Christmas Day. Kunin wants that to literally happen and get the hell out of the way to the NFL, and it would add more, I guess, urgency, for lack of a better term, to the regular season. And I think it would. I think it's actually a pretty good idea. So less is more.
So when would the season end, including the NBA Finals?
Let me try to scan through that quickly.
It would be August.
Yeah, August.
Because the one thing I think the NBA really has going for it, and I understand ratings and revenue, but NBA summer, like, people really care between the draft, free agency, summer league. Like, I would argue they almost care more than the regular season.
Yeah.
And so do you want to lose that? Because now, like, your off season is irrelevant because it's going up against the NFL and college football, and people are not going to really pay attention. I'm sure this guy is obviously, he's a CEO of a team, so he knows a lot more about business than I can ever hope to know. I'm sure he's crunched the numbers, but that's the one thing that you would lose there, is that there's all this interest. Like, NBA Twitter, the NBA soap opera, to me, it's at its zenith in the summer. You know, it's as good as it gets, where who's going to go to this team? In a lot of ways, like, you care more. I would care more about that than any Christmas Day game.
Okay. So, yeah, here it is. Under Kunin's proposal, the start of the NBA season would shift from mid-October to mid-December after college football has completed its regular season and begun its bowl season. More important, shift would allow the NBA to avoid having to compete with the NFL regular season, currently does the first 2.5 months before the unofficial start on Christmas Day. Meanwhile, the NBA Finals would take place sometime in August, like B-Rob said, rather than June. With the draft and free agency to come after that, that would again allow the NBA to dominate more of the summer months when it's going up against only Major League Baseball instead of fighting with football for territory. Like, right, yeah, you have preseason games too. Like, that's smart.
Point.
And people, I think, by the day, are caring less and less about Major League Baseball. I think it's smart. I do. Will it probably happen? No. Because I think any of these leagues, you know, are afraid to lose revenue, and they like the 82-game season. I feel like, especially for the sports with the longer schedules, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, like, less would be more. Cut your schedules. Not in half, but shorten it.
Yeah, I agree. There's a few other issues I would just raise with this. I think one would be, you know, could you still have – I know it's only every 4 years, but, I mean, could you still have Olympic participation of NBA players? Because now the season's going longer. So I think that could potentially be an issue. And then, you know, I know air conditioning's everywhere, but you're playing in some of these locales in the hottest months. Like, what are those buildings like? Is that a pleasant experience for your
Chris,
fans?
Always concerned about comfort. That's what I love about you.
Yeah,
comfort is paramount to success. I am a firm believer in that. It's too hot in here. I can't work today. I'm uncomfortable. Get me my Dolce & Gabbana seat cushion. I need it now, Daddy. Peter and JP on the Celtics in their seating. Go ahead, Peter.
I'm going to touch on adding a player.
Peter, we got you.
Your phone stinks. I'm letting you go. Try back.
Too bad.
Like.
Peter's such a good caller. He calls every week. He follows the Celtics voraciously, so I'm sure he would have had something interesting to say. And he's a big Shemmy guy. I thought he was going to talk about Shemmy because he talked about Shemmy a couple weeks ago, and Shemmy had the good game against Cleveland, so it was Peter's chance to gloat.
Sam and Selfie, then. It's your chance here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to follow up quickly and get your thoughts on something that was touched briefly on Felger and Maz this week. It was the talk about Marcus Morris, a motivated Marcus Morris versus Gordon Hayward, and how that benefits the offense. My thoughts are that Gordon is uniquely situated in our offense to help spread it because he can shoot the corner three. He does that weird little shell dribble in the middle that contracts the defense. But anyways, just kind of wanted to hear you guys speak a little bit more about on that. I'll hang up.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Yeah, that came up yesterday because I was getting all over Hayward.
Yeah, you ripped him. You ripped him a new one, didn't you?
19th game of the season. Yeah, it just didn't look to me like he got hit into that knee all that hard by Daniel Tice. I feel like it's more the foot than anything else, which he said back in December is a lingering issue and will continue to be.
But the Celtics said he was fine.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, there's... Yeah.
And by the way, Shaquille O'Neal is going to come back healthy for the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, please. They like, that's Red Sox-esque, the way that they talk about injuries on that team.
New York Yankees-esque, really.
Same with Kemba Walker. Oh, no.
This guy's fine.
Needs some rest. Just needs some rest. Next thing you know, it's being drained. It's being, you know, like, come on. But on Hayward, I wanted him to be traded at the trade deadline. I really did. I just don't think it's going to get better. The injury thing is going to continue to be an albatross for he and this team, and I just hope that he opts out at this point. That's all. If you want to continue to talk Celtics, you can do so as we have a couple of seconds to go. Abbreviated Gasper and Murray today. We end at 1:30 as the New England Revolution have their home opener against the Chicago Fire. I'll tell you a little bit more about that and the status of Brandon Carlo tonight is the Bruins.
It was the Tampa Bay Lightning at TD Garden. Time for the headlines after I have a Vegemite sandwich here. Yeah?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.